right, here we are, and another thing. And I think we're gonna have a little fun with this one. We can we can keep talking if you have anything political you want to bring up. I have, you know, after we touch on those, I have a couple of fun questions that are not political at all, but stuff.
Let's go straight into fun.
Okay, well, let's just do it then. How about this one? You know, I went to this site that just has questions to perk up boring gatherings. So I've got some fun ones on this one, but you know, and if you want to take time to think about the question, I'll answer first, or you can just go right away. But I'll ask you, share a personal fact no one would ever guess about you, or just something like, you know, what's something that, you know, would surprise people, or, you know, people wouldn't guess about you, don't know about you.
Hmm. You go first. I have so many.
Okay.
Things.
Well, mine is going to kind of, there was another question that was, where is the worst smelling place you've been? So I'm going to tie that in to sharing a personal fact that maybe no one would ever guess about me. In my past life, I used to be an outside sales rep. And so on one of those occasions, I sold janitorial chemicals. I had, I used to sell, prior to that, I sold industrial chemicals, and then I switched over and went into the janitorial side. And I always kind of had the belief of, well, it doesn't matter what you sell. No, I was wrong. It does matter what you sell. But anyway, so I used to sell janitorial products, and I would sell to janitors, which I'm 6 foot tall and, you know, feminine, girly. I like my dangly earrings. I like my skirts and my tank tops. And I mean, I would always dress professionally for work, but I also, you know, was rather feminine. And I would.
Who you are.
Yeah.
Honey.
And I'm 6 feet tall. I'm 6 feet tall. So I would walk in to a guy who has been the janitor of an elementary school for 20 years and is about ready to retire. And he looks at me with daggers coming out of his eyes, like, who the fuck are you to come into my office and tell me how to do my job? I loved that. But anyway, I used to go up to the janitor and I would say, literally, I would say to them, take me to your dirtiest, smelliest boys' bathroom. And because we had this really cool product, it was more than a product. It was product plus. So it was a machine, and you would hook up your product to the machine, and then you would spray the bathroom. It was like a
shit stink be gone.
But it wasn't shit stink. It was pee, because young boys.
Oh yeah, they miss.
Oh my God, they go everywhere, and it's just. I was in Southern California, and so we would go in, you know, I would be in some valley somewhere in the middle of summer when it was 106 degrees, no ventilation, boys' bathroom that was basically ignored because it was so disgusting that the janitors wouldn't even go in there. And so I would stand in there with my strappy little sandals, and I would spray down the bathroom and it was actually environmentally friendly. Chemical, which was hydrogen peroxide, and it was, you know, it had a nice scent and whatever. So I would like spray the whole bathroom down. And most times, with the exception of one or two that were just horrendous and needed to be knocked down, I could actually make that horrible bathroom smell clean. And I kept telling myself, I kept justifying my job that I really didn't like by saying, well, you know, there's nothing worse than walking into a public restroom that smells so horrible that you feel like you can't breathe. And so I'm going to help rid the world of some of these bathrooms. But then in the end, I couldn't fucking do it. Yeah, I mean, it was just awful.
Too hard.
It was just awful. My mom was like, I can't believe you're doing this for a living. And I did it for a year, and that's all I could take.
Sometimes those scents, like I have to drive by East Bay Mud often. Because I live in Oakland, and going into the city, you pass the plant.
Yeah.
And some days, like today, it's probably super pungent because it's so hot out. Yeah. I would imagine. Maybe that's not how it works, but that's what I think it.
You know
would
what
be.
Else is the worst smelling thing? I'm going to interrupt you, and then I'm going to shut up. Is bone rendering plants. That's nasty.
Ew. Or the cattle. The slaughterhouse is on five.
Yes, that is
like,
the
that
worst.
Makes me, I dry heave.
Friend called that? Kauschwitz. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's so sad, but it's bad. It's very bad.
It's bad, and it's sad, and it's gross.
Yes.
But there's nothing quite so disgusting as halitosis, in my opinion. Like someone just has.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to work with someone. I'm not even going to mention their sex because I would hate for them to ever hear this. You know, if that were even possible.
Right.
And feel bad about themselves, but so bad that it was like across the desk, and I'd feel myself like leaning back, just going, "Oh no!" Like, what's happening? You know, when it's like when the person's like rotting from within.
Yes,
it smells like an open grave. Yes. You know, it's just like it's just
an open grave. That's totally what it is. Yeah, I knew someone who was sick, and they were talking, and it's exactly what you mean. It's like you don't want to show that you're unable to breathe. Ugh. Like you want to keep your face straight and give them no indication that you're like suffocating. But it's so difficult. I know what you're talking about.
Oh my God. I love coffee, you know? And so like I drink my coffee and now I'm, you know, going into an office and so, but I want to always put my best foot forward with everybody, you know? So I'm putting on a nice outfit. I'm doing my hair. I got a cute lipstick, whatever. But if I'm drinking coffee and I'm going to be safe and not get too close.
Yeah, me too.
But I always keep mints on hand. I want to, like, I would never want to put that on someone. And God help me if I tell my husband this, honey, if I ever have breath that seems to be off, like there's something wrong with me, you tell me immediately.
Yeah.
Because I am going to ameliorate that situation right now.
Well, one thing they sell, my girlfriend came to me once and she's like, I have bad breath. I know I have bad breath and I brush my teeth and I'm like, well, do you brush your tongue? And she said, no. And I said, well, you need to brush your tongue. But they have, tongue scrapers that you can buy, you know, in the grocery store and they're just plastic and you could just scrape all that because it's like brushing your teeth isn't enough. And
you have to also floss the living shit out of your teeth. Every day you have to floss because the bacteria inside the gum is also horrific.
Yeah.
So flossing is critical.
Well, yeah. And I think that, I've noticed a difference in doing the whole tongue scraping thing because you can brush your teeth. And then if you're still mindful, I mean, I don't want to get too gross about it cause I'll start gagging. I've got this weird thing with like bodily fluids outside of the body, but you can see that there's remnants on your tongue that brushing just doesn't get rid of. So I'm a big fan of the tongue scraping. So there's that.
I like to be clean. You know what? I want to stay positive with you cause it's fun and we're fun.
Yeah.
I have a couple things that I would, wait a second. Hold on. Do you want to go back to the list or I'm starting to deviate as
you
tend
can deviate.
To do.
I can go back to, I mean, I don't have many, so we can bop around.
You know what last night, so like I've got a son who's going to be 13 next week and he and I share a love of cinema. Uh-huh. And, so we go to movies together a lot and it's our thing. And when we go to a movie, we talk about it afterwards and he's really into film. So he wants to be a director when he, you know, when he grows up and he's already a director and a little filmmaker. He's so cute. But last night we went and saw Baby Driver.
Oh, uh-huh.
Go.
Really?
Go immediately.
Seriously?
Yes. It's so good. It's got, okay, so it's this adorable kid that plays Baby. Oh my God, if I was 20, like I don't even think I'd be seeing straight right now. He is so cute. Huh. And his name is Ansel Englort, which is odd, but that's who he is. John Hamm is in it. Kevin Spacey's in it. Jamie Foxx. It's a good cast. It's a great story. It's a killer soundtrack. Like the soundtrack is as much a part of the movie and the script as anything else and as any of the dialogue. But as we sat there, we were the last people to leave the theater. Like the guys were coming in, cleaning up the inconsiderate people who don't put their popcorn containers in the garbage can. And Jess and I were sitting and we were talking and he said, Mom, I don't want to say this is the best movie I've ever seen, but it is for sure in my top 10 and I might have to change that statement later. And, you know, it was just really cute. And I said, let's download the soundtrack immediately. And then you can play DJ in the car on the way home. And so we're singing and laughing and just having a great time. But as we're leaving the theater, it's like 10 o'clock at night and we're walking and talking and we go through the glass doors and he got the door for me, which, you know, I already, like, my heart was
That's
just
so cute.
Fluttering because he's, you know, he's almost 13 and yeah. he's that, but he got the door for his mother.
That's so sweet.
And so I walk through and I'm blah, 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 blah. And then I turn and look and he's not there. And I turn around and look and he was standing there holding the door for a group of four people that were, yeah, that were probably in their 20s or 30s or whatever. And I looked and I go, oh my God, son, I am so proud of you. And then they turn and looked at him and they go, thanks a lot. That's really cool. And they all made a comment to him. And then he got kind of this little look on his face and he had what I call proud mouth, you know, like he was like, you know, and I thought, you know what? The world is a pile of shit sometimes, but I got a kid who is 13 and holds the door for strangers. Some of this is right. Some of what is happening in this world is still right. And extending a hand to people you don't know because it's the right thing to do and it makes everybody feel good. Like, I must have been floating to the car. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so I have faith in humanity. And I have faith that we are, you know, we are, you and I, setting an example for the generations behind us and that are coming up after us. And, you know, that just, like, I went to bed feeling so fucking good last night.
Wow.
And I'm, you know, that's a little, but I got to look at that.
No, but
as
it's true. And it is, those are the things that keep you going, you know,
right.
You I'm going to say something though. And now that we're on and another thing and it's,
yeah.
I know the person who told me this isn't going to hear. I almost said this on the free show, but then I forgot. The other night I went out to dinner with a friend. And so she told me about this couple that she knows. And so I guess this couple is going to get married next year. And she said to me, and I'm, you know, let's just say his name is Dave and her name is Kathy for argument's sake. So, I guess Kathy was going to go with my girlfriend and her daughters to go see the movie Wonder Woman. And mm-hmm. they planned to go see it. And then, I don't know, something happened and they didn't get to go see it. So anyway, Dave finds out, which my girlfriend is friends with Dave and her husband is friends with Dave. They've known him forever. So evidently, and Dave is very political. He's a Jill Stein voter, so you can just tell how lovely he is. And he knows more than you do, and he knows more than I do about everything. And he'll tell you. But he told his fiance that, who he's been with now for several years, that if she goes to see Wonder Woman, that's a deal breaker for their relationship.
Because, oh my God. Did she kick him straight out the door?
She's not going to go see Wonder Woman. Can you believe that? I mean,
no.
I am like beside, I cannot get over that. I just cannot fucking get over that. And I mean, she is in her 30s. She's like late 30s. He's probably 2 or 3 years younger than I am. And I'm going to be 49 this month. So she's no spring chicken. You know,
his problem with Wonder Woman?
Because of her stance on Palestine. Whatever it is. I don't even know. But
because of Gal Gadot's stance on Palestine?
Is that
yes.
the actress?
Yes.
She's Israeli.
So that's her fucking business.
It's her business in her country. And she's got an opinion on it. And he tells this woman that he's been with for years that it's a deal breaker. So he won't marry her if she goes to see the fucking... You know, it's like, I don't like... I finally did watch the other night just because, you know, I like to escape. And I watched... what is the name of that movie with Susan Sarandon and Gina Davis?
Oh, Thelma and Louise.
Yes, I watched Thelma and Louise. And I got over my irritation of Susan Sarandon. Because I really like that movie. It's so fucking great. And I don't believe in Clint Eastwood's politics, but I love his movies. And I just
that
feel
was
like
Ridley Scott.
Yes, I know. Ridley Scott is the bomb. But I just feel like, you know what, unless these people are literally out there murdering other people, you know, I mean, I have a hard time with Woody Allen movies, but there are a few that I still like. And like, I'll still watch Annie Hall. I have such a fucking problem with him, but I can't help it. I like Annie Hall. I see him, I get disgusted and I feel kind of sick inside, but I still like the movie. And I can't even, like, if a man ever told me, I don't care how much I fucking love that man, if he said that to me, I would have been, bye.
Oh my God. I was going to say, tell Kathy that Dave just gave her the best gift.
Yes.
That, you know, that's a she just would have dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
That's a relationship that's going to be abusive, whether it's just psychological abuse. That's ridiculous.
Well, it probably already is. You know, it probably already is abusive, because if she's going to allow him to do that, then God only knows they've been together. You know, I happen to know too, his prior girlfriend who I met had mentioned once that he had an issue with anger. And I don't know what that is. I mean, she said it in front of a group of people. So in front of him and in front of a group of people. So he was kind of like shaking his head agreeing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what extent this anger, you know, is it just that he gets pissed off and he becomes a dick about it? Does he go on these rage? I don't know. But so she's clearly been around his bullshit. But when you mentioned that movie, Baby Driver, I kind of thought, oh my God, I forgot the Wonder Woman thing, which I still haven't seen, which now I really want to go see it.
Oh, it's great.
I want to go buy her a ticket and give it to her. And it's like, I think he said something like, I don't want any of our money going to her. So it's like, I'll do it. I'll buy the ticket. I think
guys,
Bob has
like
something.
That.
Bob has something to say.
It's
yes,
like,
Bob, hi.
It borders on anti-Semitic,
yeah.
I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
This guy considers himself a progressive.
Yeah.
Unfucking
believable. Well, he's a Jill Stein voter. I mean, case closed. We don't need any more facts,
exactly.
Really. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm not sorry.
I'm not sorry. I can't stand. I mean, look, this friend that I have voted for Jill Stein, I think. I know her husband did. I'm guessing that she did. She's certainly not a bad person. Mm-hmm. I think that she maybe just doesn't fully understand if she did vote for Jill Stein, or the fact that she lived in California and figured that, I guess it doesn't matter because Hillary's going to take California anyway, or I should say that Hillary will go for, you know, or California will go for Hillary. So, I mean, I don't really know. I don't want to bag on her, because I feel like I've known this person for quite some time and she's a good person, but I think that, you know, she'll readily admit that she doesn't always pay attention to politics, and she's kind of going along with the way her husband sees things, who is a Jill Stein voter. So, you know, and it's like, but this guy is like a full on, like, angry leftist Jill Steiner.
Mohican.
So
yeah,
he's a jerk. He's a jerk.
Icky.
Okay, so how about this? I got another question.
Okay.
Because I have an answer to it. So again, if you need to think about it, or if you don't have one, do you have a real life situation where you stood up for someone or something? Which I know you did.
Oh, I mean, when, like this week?
Yeah, I know, really. So what's one that you can share?
First of all, I've learned over the years, I'm a loudmouth, but when I see like injustice or somebody being taken advantage of, you know, I remember being a kid and someone called my brother a name and I decked him, you know? and so it started then, but that's not how you resolve
shit,
violent. Obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, when your little brother is being picked on by somebody big, you're going to kick somebody's ass. And I'd lose a tooth. Like, to this day, if someone I love is being threatened, I would put my face in front of it, and I would, like, and I love my teeth, trust me. But I would take a punch to the face.
Yeah.
But one time I remember in particular, I was waiting for a coffee, and I was living in Oakland at the time, but I was in the marina in San Francisco for some reason. And I was waiting for a coffee. I was grabbing some coffees for me and Zach. He's out in the car in front, and I'm in line, and it was taking forever. It was a long line. It was really busy. It was a weekend. And the woman behind me, the dude that was helping us was it looked like he was of Latino descent. He was very dark skinned. He looked Latino, and that's what I was going with. And so there was a person standing behind me who was also waiting, and she was just like, oh, you're like, oh, so put out with the wait.
Right.
And then she goes, he went into the back, and I don't know if he was preparing or what, but she goes, did he go to Guatemala to get the beans? And I took that as she's bagging on him because he's Latino. And, you know, even the, I don't know. And I said, I go, are you kidding me? Did you just say that out loud in front of everybody here in this room? Like, is that what's going to come out of your mouth? Regardless of what you meant, do you know how ignorant that made you look? And then I'm the asshole.
Yeah,
because
of course.
I'm making so much noise, right? Yeah. But I won't have that sort of thing. And then someone I was in, oh my God, I was going to band practice with my girlfriend it's in a real sketchy neighborhood in South San Francisco, but I needed to have a Diet Coke for the practice. So she pulls up in front and I'm just going to run in, and Ann just like locks her doors, and I go in, and I don't think I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm going to get a Diet Coke and I'm going to get in line. And the guy behind the counter had, a turban on, and the guy in line in front of me was rudely wanting his transaction to take place much more quickly than it was. Yeah. And so he went, hey, and did this weird sound. And I was like, first of all, that's the wrong racial epithet you were throwing at this guy. And I go, hey, hang on a minute. Whoa, what are you doing there? And then I thought, oh my God, I'm not in Rock Ridge.
Right.
I'm in South San Francisco, and my girlfriend who is in the car has her doors locked and windows up. And he goes, we're friends. It's okay. I go, that's not too friendly to me. And then I'm like, okay, stop.
Yeah.
Stop for a second. I have kids. I got a husband. Yeah. You know, I got a friend and a lot. But I always say stupid things. And I'll always stand up for the little guy.
Yeah, well, there was a time.
That's afraid.
I mean, obviously, I've done speeches for the ERA and all that, but yeah. Just in my personal life, I had a friend, or I still have a friend, but she went through a divorce, and she's Mexican, and it was funny because she always used to say she was white, and I'm like, why do you say that? I'm like, be proud of your heritage. Whenever when I was living in Southern California, I really developed a strong appreciation for Mexican culture because it's everywhere. You know, I mean, there's Alvera Street, and then there's just Mexican culture everywhere. A lot of so many of my friends were Mexican. I mean, when I hung out with this one particular friend, she has 5 kids, but one was already grown. So she had 4 kids. And then I hung out with her and her brother, and he had 4 kids. And so we'd spend every weekend together, and we would go and just hang out, and there was this huge group of us, and I really felt like, you know, I was in their family. And
yeah.
And then she had another brother who lived in El Monte, which they, how do they call it? El Monte.
And, El Monte.
And it's, you know, it wasn't like, a poor neighborhood, but it was just a lower middle class, mm-hmm. Hispanic neighborhood. And I was there all the time. And, you know, I mean, they held my birthday party there. And, you know, it was like, I don't know, I've just always had a strong, you know, I'm kind of sidelining here. But anyway, so I was friends with her, and her husband and her split up. Her being Mexican doesn't really have anything to do with it. But anyway, so she split up with her husband, and she worked full time. But of course, you know, going through divorce, and he was not helpful. They lost their condo. She lost her car. She pretty much lost everything, and she was really struggling, and she had to move in with her brother who, you know, actually her 2 brothers that lived in this small house in El Monte, with a whole bunch of already, you know, there were probably, when she moved in, it was a small three bedroom house. There were already, let's see, it was 5, 6, 7 people living there. So then she moves in with her 4 kids. So that's 12 people. Living in a small little house. And so she was having a really hard time. And I guess she at the time, and I guess she still is, she was a born again Christian, which I'm sure people are maybe surprised to hear that, wow, you're friends with a born again Christian. But she was very cool, and she never pushed herself on me. So I don't care that she's, you know, as long as she doesn't push herself on me, I don't care what you think. Occasionally, we would laugh because I would say, I know you think I'm going to hell. And she would kind of laugh as if, she, like, yeah, I do think you're going to hell. And I'm
like,
I don't
care. Yeah,
I do.
Hey, we agree.
And then, like, and she would say things that I didn't agree with. Like, she didn't let her kids read Harry Potter because of witchcraft. And I always thought that was ridiculous. But I would tell her. I mean, that's what I loved about her. We could totally be honest with her. She would say to me, you look like shit today. I hate your skirt or whatever it was. We could just be so honest with each other and never hurt each other's feelings. So anyway, she was having a really difficult time with her finances, and she had given this church so much money. She was dedicated to that church, and in her hardest times, she would give them money. And so then she went to the church and asked them for help, and guess what she got? Ignored. So I was fucking pissed. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? So I got the guy's name, the guy that the pastor, and I called him up. And
No, you didn't.
Oh, I went off on him. I mean, I never used profanity, and I never, like, you know, called them names or anything like that. But I shamed the shit out of this guy. I'm like, how can you call yourself a Christian? You pride yourself on helping the poor. Well, my girlfriend, who constantly gives you money, has stayed dedicated to your church, and you've got nothing for her. And so he couldn't hang up on me because he's a pastor. He, you know, I don't think he was a priest, but he couldn't hang up on me. He was forced to just sit there and listen to me bag on him. And I just let loose for like 45 minutes. I wouldn't let up. And then what really pissed me off is that afterward, she just kept going. She just kept going to that stupid church. It's like, pick a new church. Why don't you go to a new church now? You know, even if the new church wouldn't give you money, you don't know this for sure. Why are you going to the church that you've been helping? And now they're just like, tough luck for you. It just made me so angry. So
that sucks.
You know, just whatever. But that, you know, I mean, I've done that too. I'm kind of like you, where I will, you know, like Bob and I lost our fucking minds a couple of weeks ago when there was a dog in a car, and you know, we were walking up to Best Buy or whatever it was, and there was a Petco next door, so we weren't sure what the deal was. But by the time the man returned to his car, it was like, you know, we had mentioned something to him about the dog being in a locked car on a hot day. And his response was, it's none of your business. Okay.
Uh-oh,
that was
it.
We're both screaming at him. It's like, oh, I just hope that that man was so humiliated that he doesn't ever do anything like that again. I hope. I know, because people are, sometimes animals are better than people, you know?
Oh, often.
Well, let's go on. Unless you have another thing, I'll go on my last question.
Yeah, please.
So do you have what is your pet peeves? Peeve or peeves? I'm sure you have more than one. I have more than one.
I have a zillion.
Yeah, I know. What's a few good ones?
Here's one that I hate it when someone asks me a question and then I start to say, and maybe I'm, you know, four words in, but nowhere near done, and then they interrupt. Or they know what they want your answer to be,
right,
and then they fucking say it halfway through your answer. And it's like, wait a minute. No. I also, one of the things that I really despise is chronic lateness.
Yeah.
And I, you know what? Sometimes I am late, and if I lose track of time, I feel like such crap if I'm late to, you know, something where I'm meeting someone, a friend or what have you. But you know, you've got those people in your life who are just chronically late. And it's sort of a pisser, you know.
Yeah.
And
I also
hate people who talk on cell phones in the nail salon.
Oh, really? Well, I don't go to the nail salon, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the movie theater.
Oh, that's heinous.
That is heinous. Yeah, I used to know someone who was an hour late all the time. At least an hour late. Actually, two people. It's fucking infuriating. You know what drives me crazy is when you're in a store or a public place and there's an elevator, people who stand right in front of the elevator doors, because almost every time the door opens and people have to get off. So the fucking idiot standing right in front of the door has to move so the people can get off.
I hate that.
It's like, think ahead.
I've taught my children. I go, we got, you step back when you're waiting to get on an elevator, you step away from the door. So you wait,
yes,
paces away from the door, and then you let the people who are on get off first. They're children and they know that rule.
Yeah. It just drives me crazy.
You're gonna get on the elevator before me, but we're both getting on the elevator, so you're not gonna beat me to where you need to go.
Yeah, I know, exactly. God, you know what another pet peeve is? Donald Trump is president. I think that's my biggest peeve at the moment.
You want to know another pet peeve?
Huh?
No, I'm not gonna say it.
Okay.
It was about to go dark, okay. And I can't go down that path. Yeah, right. That was a beauty.
That's what we should end the show on. Just that Donald Trump is the whole country's pet peeve. Although it's way worse than a pet peeve, but whatever.
You know what? I noticed that you put a picture on Twitter that said, "I hear Donald Trump hates it. It really irks him when we post pictures like this." And it was a picture of him with the little bowl cut and the little teddy bear sweater. So I put one up of his wrist with his gold watch cutting off his circulation, and I have a million more. And when we're done with this show, I'm going to load them all up because that kind of stuff is funny. Have you seen
the GIF? Oh, here it is. I see it. I'm going to retweet it.
Have you seen the GIF of the toddler playing golf, but they've superimposed Trump's head on it?
No.
And he's stomping and, oh, I'm going to put that up on your page,
too. Oh, you have to do that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you made me laugh today, as you do. And we got, you know what? As fucked up as things are, we got a lot of really good stuff to look forward to.
Yeah.
We really do.
You're right. And I thank you for helping to keep me sane. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll just have to keep doing this moving forward, finding good things to focus on when, you know, when we get dark. So, thanks everybody for listening, and hopefully you'll be able to keep up the positive feeling, because the truth is we do need to stay positive. Allow yourself to lick your wounds, but then, you know, go right back on the positive train. Anyway, all right. Well, it was good talking to you, and we will see you next
time.
You
too, babe, always. Bye-bye, Bob.
I wish I was a fisherman, tumbling on the seas.